I would like us to call to order and so we can get started. So I'm Jay Scott and I am the chair of the working group work team, which is what this group is. For those of you, I'll just briefly let you know where you are. For those of you that are here as observers, and this team is part of the GNSO improvement, and what we are working on is two separate subgroups. One, which is getting together a draft template to guide work groups in how to create a charter. And the other one is an operational handbook that will help work teams, working groups, as they are formulated by the council. They will then have some sort of parameters or guidelines for how they are to operate. And so it's to assist us in the process so that as we new people matriculate through the system, it's not reinventing the wheel every time. People don't have to relearn everything, and there's some basis of consensus and consistency in the process. I mean, that's really our goal, is to assist new leaders and new working groups so that they can spend more time on substantive work and less time on charting the territory. With that said, I'm going to ask Ken, who was on our last call, which I believe was held June 10th, to bring us up to date. He has posted this, for those of you that have access to the wiki. He has posted this in PDF form on the wiki, so you can look at the minutes there as well. And we're going to bring you up to speed on where we are and what our next steps are. Ken?
Thank you very much, Jay Scott. Now, I just need to figure out where am I. So I am looking at, I'm going to try to get to the working group team chartered page. Although if I back up to the working group page, that's probably where the notes are, right, from the last meeting? There we go.
You want to project?
Project would be good.
Yeah, project would be great.
I can find them.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I actually need to go through the call summary from the notes, right? Yeah. We can just kind of go to the meat of it. Just scrolling down through the notes to see. Yeah, I think it's all about, all right. So the from the working group team page, if we go to the team charter, that's not right. Bear with me a second here. I got it. Charter guidelines. All right. So where I'm at the st.icann.org. The working group team charter page. Does everybody know where that is? Does anybody not know where it is? And we'll get it up in a second. If not, we can plug into me. I'm sure I've got a connection here somewhere. Right.
Just jump in and I'll catch up.
Sure. Okay. As I mentioned in the notes, the charter subteam, the charter operating guidelines, actually we're calling it the working group's implementation and charter drafting guidelines, right? That subteam. Several of us met on 4 June. It was Avery and it was Cheryl Langdon Orr, and Gray was there. Gray. And myself, I think, was the group that we had. And we made a tremendous amount of progress actually going through the original outline. making decisions about whether a particular element should be in the outline or whether it should be out, and we discussed the rationale for all of that. And the results are on this page. And I even noted that this is the revised draft outline posted or after the 4 June session. And we ended up creating some new sections. And if we go to the introduction, I'm not sure if you can see it there or not. Yeah, have you got that?
Yeah, sure.
Will it reach?
Yes, it says B right here. Since
B. Let's see if this works. Let's try it the right way.
You need to do that through maybe like control screen or something like that.
No, they need to switch it here to the...
Oh, they have to switch it to
yeah.
B?
Oh, to the computer.
No. It's another... plugged in another computer, so this is the B.
Yeah, but I'll switch to B.
Okay. Let me try F7 and see what happens here.
Hey.
Here we go.
All right.
Okay. Well, then, if I hit it again, I might be able to actually see my screen. That's because I've got a tablet PC, and
keep doing it.
Keep hitting it, right? And that's going to turn it off. All right, let's try it again. Now I'm right side up.
There we go.
One more time. No, I'll have to read it off the.
Off the big screen.
Yeah, there's probably a way to do this. I just don't know how to do it. It's a new computer.
You want to try one more computer and have me do it on this one?
Sure. All right. Unplugging?
Do you want to
hang on, Phil. There's another.
I work for one of the largest technology companies in the world, and this happens every time we try to do something on PowerPoint.
Technology on this.
So momentarily we'll have this going, hopefully. So the new charter guidelines has an introduction section, and then it has three major sections, and they're we'll have them in a second. But there's the introduction. And then inside that introduction, we actually described what the three sections are. I'll just read them since it's brief. Section 1 contains background information informing the effort to create this document, as well as suggestions and recommendations related to the implementation of working groups within the GNSO. And so what that's attempting to refer to is all of the material that was in the original outline that, and I think I liked Avery's term, she called it meta-information. It's information sort of about working groups and about how to enable them, but it doesn't specifically relate to the building of a real charter. So we took all of the material that was of that meta type and put it in Section 1. Section 2, then, is comprised of the material that relates directly to a charter that would be written by a sponsoring or chartering organization for a working group. And then Section 3 is just for amendments. So that was to capture the idea that the document would be living and we would... be able to make amendments to it as it goes through experience. So Section 1 then also has a short introduction to indicate what it's for, and then we'll have a background, Section 1.0 background, and then some material on revisions, applicability, and then information in Section 2 about the implementation of working groups. There's a bunch of information in here, like the announcement of the working group. This would relate to advertising and telling people what it's for and what it's about. There's a section on security concerns, chair facilitation expectations, and so forth. And then section two is the place where we actually deal with the charter template itself. And there's an introduction section there, and then we can walk our way through that sort of briefly, and just you can see that section one deals with identification of the working group's name, who the chair is, and so forth and so on. These would all be parts of a real charter. The mission, purpose, and deliverables, major sections. I'm not going to go through all of these. Formation, staffing, and organization. And then section four, rules of engagement. There probably is some important stuff to discuss there around decision-making methodologies. We've talked a little bit about whether or not consensus decision-making has to be prescribed in a tight way, and that will probably depend on which type of working group is being commissioned. If it's one that is related to policy, then quite clearly it would have a definite definition. We created a section five called working group history. You know, the sort of when, the dates, when was it chartered, and all of that kind of information. And then the last section three would be for revisions. So, you know, this is version 1.0, and this is the version posted to the working group team wiki. Eventually, there'll be a 1.1 and a 1.2, and somebody will say we should go to 2, 3, 4, whatever. And then hopefully over time it'll continue. We'll be able to tell from the description what was done on each of those versions. So this is where we are briefly on the charter work.
One of the problems that I have identified is getting everybody involved and helping and drafting. It's my understanding from the last call, Ken, that there was a group that agreed that Ken is going to work with us to put together some preliminary draft language that we would then all engage in editor, you know, editing it and expounding upon it and clarifying it as we go through the process, rather than having this divvied up to a bunch of groups drafting sections. We're going to have Ken work with us on getting it drafted, and then we will take it and craft it as we review it and have our questions and flush out issues that need to be discussed further on this. And I think that's probably the best way in order that we can get this done, because we need to have this done, I'll be right with you, as soon as, you know, by Seoul. So it seems like a long time away, but it's just around the corner. We have a question here.
Yeah, Jonas Hoinen from Nokia Siemens Networks. Hi. I think that we need a different approach that we have had thus far, because we haven't really made the progress that we wanted perhaps to have until we came here. And really, if we continue with this speed, Seoul is really not very far away. I'm like, we're going to have a couple of more sections before Seoul, but we won't be ready if we don't take a different approach. But I think that, and which I would like to propose, that we use this face-to-face session time to kind of like get the principles done and stuff like that, because I think that I can still read from the comments in the draft here that there are questions of if even some sections are supposed to be here, and then, for instance, adding text to that and working on those tech and putting effort in that text might not be that useful. Some of these things like importance and priority was one of these sections which I thought shouldn't be there, and I saw Avery's comment said shouldn't be there. And the question, we're getting all the principles kind of done, and then we can give this to maybe to Ken or to a small team to draft. But I think that, yes, we do need a different approach than we have done so far, because we have to move on.
Yeah, I guess I would be interested in hearing the enumeration of those things, which were still up for debate, because I thought that we had actually made some good progress on the calls. I think the main debate point was whether or not, or who the audiences were, I think there was some confusion as to who the audiences were for the document that we were producing. And once we clarified that the charter was that the it was kind of layers of audiences, right? The first audience for this was the people that were going to draft the charter. And then subsequent to that, they were going to draft a document based on this form that the audience of which would be the members of the work group team. And so my thought is that we had actually made some significant progress on that and kind of clarifying those. And I'd be interested, I don't, it, to me, at least in the last call that I was on, it didn't seem as though there was that much debate about what elements were appropriate to include in that. So I think we could, I mean, you mentioned one. Are there others that are relevant? I don't know if this is the right time to discuss this, but are there others that are relevant that we would need to revisit prior to kind of moving forward with actually drafting the content?
I mean, personally, I don't think there is any, the way we're planning on moving forward, I don't think there's any problem with going with the outline we have and flushing out that. And then as we get into editing, we can make a decision about whether there are certain areas that don't belong there or not. I mean, Ken is taking the, you know, if there are certain sections like priorities that people feel like are extraneous or need to be shorter, those are all questions we can get into once we get into the editing. But I think that I would like to err on the side of over-inclusiveness for the original draft, because I think when you go to narrowing it down, then you just find yourself revisiting issues. It's always easier to take away than it is to create something that you feel wasn't there. So I would be preferred. It seems like this general outline is acceptable, that we flush this out with text, and then we can have, if there are still, after the text is there, if there are still concerns about some of the subject matter that's included, then we can have a discussion about whether that needs to be shortened, it needs to be removed, it needs, but at this point, I think the best thing to do is to get something on paper and get as much on paper as we can, so that we then have something to start discussing.
Yes, thank you. There is, I just quickly scanned through because I wasn't clear that there were any that we hadn't already resolved, and I noticed that there is a note on, and it's up on the screen, Gray's got it, it's 2.3, import, impact, and priority. And Avery did subsequently add a note, I still don't think it belongs, but I will read what you write and offer an opinion later, which is exactly, Jay Scott, what I think you said. So, yes, there was some discussion on this item that it didn't belong. But we, in our discussion, I remember that, and the reason it's still here, and if you read what I wrote, it says, not every charter will be for a PDP item. And our hope was that this drafting guidelines document could be used for working groups other than policy. And so, for example, the team that we are, which we are a working group, right? We might have used such a drafting guideline document in building our own charter, or the OSC might have used it if it hadn't existed. And in that particular case, impact, import, priority might have been something they would have said. The reason this is important, it came from a BGC report. It's going to influence the way in which working groups are. That might have been a place where it would have applied. But in a policy case, as Avery has pointed out, it gets very difficult, and in which case they can simply ignore this, right? So this would be an optional item. Anyway, that's just a thought about that, Jan.
Cheryl.
Ken, just picking up on that, thank you very much, Joseph. When we were discussing it, I think it was really important that we did spend a good deal of time discussing it, even at this point. And I was keen to point out that in many of these work groups or teams that are going to be produced from these documents, you're going to be mixing cultures and experience, which is unlike anything you've ever done before. You're going to bring people in which is not inclusive of those who understand how a normal PDP process works. And background, even from an historic and archive point of view, is hugely important. And if it's deemed important in this case, this is where you can place it.
Right. Yeah, so this was just something that I picked up where I saw that, because I wasn't in the last call, so I was just skimming through this, and that was one of the points that I saw, that there was some contention. Just on that point, I think that I don't think that anybody is going to say that my working group is not important, it has no impact, and it should be low priority. So kind of like everybody says, this is the highest priority working group because it's mine. This is has a big impact because it has big impact, and don't you understand that? And so it should be high priority. And that's kind of like, even if it's optional, I think that this would be always the case that comes out. And some and kind of like having the criteria of what is important and not is would be a discussion that wouldn't be very useful. But let it be there if everybody else wants it to be there, and we can discuss when we have the text. I'm fine with that.
You know, personally, having been involved in ICANN for 10 years, if everybody thought their working group was the highest priority and put effort and time into it, I would be thrilled. but I understand where
creation,
you're coming.
Not about actually putting time
but,
into.
But it. I understand, of course, that you understand, of course, that some of this is going to be relegated by council, because council is going to be managing this process. And just because you draft a charter doesn't mean that council cannot say to you, "We've reviewed the charter and we have problems in X, Y, and Z area, and we're sending it back to you to address those issues." One of them might be where you place it on your priority. But again, I think your points are well taken, but I would like to just see text, and then we can, once we see text and how it's all fitting together, if there are still objections, we can talk about that at that time. But I would much rather get it on paper now and see how it fits in as an overall piece of the puzzle before we don't put it the puzzle together, you know, we don't have it as a piece. Because it's always easy to say, yeah, we had a discussion, this isn't going to work, let's take it out, rather than to say, oh, we didn't do this and that we're revising it 2 months after we put it out there. So that would be my preference. And given that Ken is taking the laboring oar for us, you know, we have the easy part.
Yeah, just as a comment to that, actually, it seems to be always when drafting text that taking text out is much more laborsome than actually putting it in. But I agree, that's a good thing. One thing that I had another question, and this might be because I missed the last call, is that there are some sections in this document that I think would be more appropriate in the kind of general working group guidelines, because they are general for all working groups, whereas charter guideline is like just for chartering the working group. That was how I understood it. And the thing is that when are we going to discuss, or when are we going to discuss which is appropriate to where?
Could you just specifically reference which sections you thought? I mean, I think we're trying to get through this now, and I think that's what the purpose is. So,
well, for instance, things like what they call here security concerns, chair and facility expectations, those are general things, I think.
Could you reference the section so that I can get it up?
In the section 2.0, the subsections thereof are kind of things that I think are general for all working groups and not specific for a single charter. And I think these are important things to write down. The question is just how we split those two documents, because I understood this was just a document to, not just, but a document concentrating on chartering a working group, where some of these issues I think are general for all working groups, not for a specific one.
My thought on this was that it was, I mean, these are instructions that are given to the working group, right, about how things are going to work. So my thought is that they would actually apply if they're in the if they're in this document, they'd be spoken to by the chartering entity, and then the working group would take that information and use that in their work on the working group. So I don't see why this wouldn't be broadly applicable to all the working groups.
No, I think what was my understanding of the chartering work document was to give a checklist. What do you have to show that you have done to charter a working group, that you have kind of due diligence or checklist of the items that have to be defined for a working group. Whereas the working group guidelines was a document that describes kind of the rules or guides, how our working group works, which is general for all working groups, whereas the charter document would be something that explains, well, have you what are the specific things that you have thought of for this particular working group that you're chartering now?
Well, I think that I think this goes back to the question of audiences, and this document, or at least the way I understand it, is that this document is drafted by people who want to have a working group created, right? So that's part of the process. Part of the reason for this document is that it forces anyone who wants a working group to get created to think long and hard about what they're doing. And then once they produce that, they give that to the entity that would create the working group or that would charter the working group. That entity, which has the authority to charter the working group, then takes that takes this charter, massages it over, maybe changes some of the language, and actually issues the charter. Then that document goes into the hands of the people that would be participating in the working group. So they have a guide with all the relevant terms about what is going to happen in this group that they're now participating in. And I think that's why this is relevant here, is that it talks about how this particular group is going to be organized and structured and what it's going to do. And then there's operating norms that go with all of them, but I think it really is about that packet of information that is received by the people that are going to be on the working group that we want to have be the net result of this. So do you see why I think that this is it's a relevant thing to have in there, and it is part of that communique that goes from the charting organization to the people that are going to do the work.
And I think that because of the different audiences, that there may be in the two documents very similar provisions, because they may closely map one another in certain instances and in certain areas. So this is probably one of the areas that is going to map pretty closely in both documents. But I'm not sure that one belongs in one document and not in another document, because you have separate audiences, and it may not be the same participants that did the chartering that are doing the work. And so you have to have a document that sort of whatever role they're playing covers the material for that role. And it may be that the material is similar because there are similar issues, but we have to cover it in both places. And I think, again, you know, that's the basic point, and it may look like it's duplicative, but I think what gets very complicated for people is when you start sending them, refer to Section 2.0 in the other document, they're never going to do it. So it needs to be in the document that's before them, and the fact that we may have similar provisions in the operating document as we do in the charter document, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I think that, you know, you have to have them, because, again, what we're trying to do is chart – I shouldn't use that word since we're talking about charters – but to plot a course for leaders who are coming into this process without having been involved before.
Thanks, Scott. Apologies for coming late. I'm actually very happy to be able to catch up with the work of this part, because it was – difficult to devote time to both. What I understand from the work and what you're saying is that actually the charter exercise and the guidelines or operating principles exercise are working at different levels. What we're doing in the guidelines or operating principles is basically working methods, and they're generic. It basically says a working group works this way. It has a chair, it does da da da. The charter, the thing that we're doing at this time, is more like a template. It's a fill-in type of box that says a charter contains a title that says this is the subject, two, this is the brief description of the topic, three, this is how we have decided to distribute it, this is who is going to be the chair, this is the timeline, and so on. So it's basically a template that has to be filled, whereas the other one is an actual document that is complete. So I don't think there's that much overlap. Quite on the contrary, the more distinguished it is, the clearer it will be. One is permanent, and the other one, the template, is permanent, but the feeling is different.
Well, I do believe that there could be, you know, some subject matter that is almost identical because, I mean, you're covering similar, it's just it's at different levels. And so, like this section here where it talks about how to announce the working group and all of those things, because the working group itself is going to have some communications that it's going to have to take care of. And so I'm just saying that just because we put something in a subject matter in one document and we cover it in a certain way doesn't preclude it from being in the other document. It may be that it's a different, it may be that it, there's a different a take on it or a different approach to it based on the level of where that document is, who it's speaking to. Again, it's different audiences, similar information, but who's your reader, who's your audience, and what is the goal of that particular document? Whether it's to define a parameter for how a working team works, a working group works, or if it's how to charter that group. I see Giannis, and I saw Avery, and is that it?
So this is something that is a new concept for me, this different audiences, because to be honest, actually, I don't think that there are different audiences. There are the same people. I'm like, there is not going to be a new breed of people coming in ICANN that will just charter working groups but never going to participate in them. And the other thing is that what I would find very confusing, if you find similar but not same rules or kind of procedures of the same topic in two different places. And keeping these two topics kind of in line would be difficult. I take your point that, well, people won't go and read a document if you point to a section or stuff like that. But that's packaging. That's what we don't have to do here. We have can do then in a way that, well, when the secretariat sends the template to the person who's or the group who's interested to do a charter working group, they will copy-paste what is in the operation document about chartering a working group. And then you still, and this would be the template, what is needed to fill out. So I think I had the same view as Bertrand had about what is a charter template and what is the difference between an operational document.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what Jana just said. I think anything should only be documented in one place. It can be included by reference in many places, but having the same thing sort of in several places and trying to keep them aligned is close to impossible and disastrous, because then you argue about which set of rules you're following. So I think a lot of things should be documented just once in one place and then included by reference everywhere they need to be.
My thought on this is that in the way I see them working together and referencing some of the same stuff but not exactly the same and it working out and making sense is that, for instance, the announcement of a working group. To me, if you had a variety of different ways in the operating models which described different methods you could use to announce a working group, publicize its existence, different types of outreach that might be involved, that in the charter, what would make sense to me is that the chartering entity would say, all right, of a variety of things which you could do, we want you to do X, right? So in the operating models, you say, these are the various things you could do to announce a working group. And in the charter, it would say, of the things that we've discussed that are in the operating models of how to do these things, we would like the group that puts this together to announce it with this choice, so with an email to the variety of different constituencies, potentially, you know, a blog and a, you know, something on the ICANN webpage, whatever it may be, that this would direct the group to select from different options that occur in the operating model which things it should, which in which manner it should implement the different elements of the operating model. Same thing with each of these elements, where there may be things in the operating model which describe particular variations on ways to do things. The charter would be important to reference that, because the charter could then say, of the various different things that you could do, this is the one that you should be doing. These are the elements of that you should really be paying attention to. And in relationship to the audiences thing, I think that it's really just about the information you're trying to communicate. I don't think we're talking about different people here. So when you're talking about referencing the same thing or having the same information in two places, Jay Scott, my thought is that it describes the way in which you're going to use or implement the operating models. It gives direction to the people that are doing the work. And so in that sense, it makes sense to have the same thing, in essence, with some direction to it.
Well, here's my suggestion. My suggestion is the discussion we're having now is fairly academic. And I would suggest that we get something on paper. And then once we get the two documents flushed out into a rough draft, we can begin having this discussion about where we want to put certain sections and where we think it needs to serve the better purpose. And I think that if we spend all of our time talking about where stuff needs to be, we're never going to get to getting it down on paper. And I don't think nobody here is committed to being creative and understanding there might be better placement for things once we see how everything starts to fit together. But at this point, we don't have anything, so we need to get something on paper. And that would be my suggestion, is we just get it on paper, knowing that there are concerns of these issues. Avery has been very clear. Giannis has been very clear. Bertrand has been very clear about their positions, keeping those in mind, that those are issues that when we get the flushed out draft documents, those are questions we need to ask ourselves. Is this the right place for this? Will this serve better in this document or that document? And do those. But it needs to get written. Whether it doesn't matter which documents it's in initially, as long as we understand that we still have not, in my mind, it's still a work in progress. And until we get them down on paper and then we start deciding when we see how they are going to fishtail together, we can do that. That would be my suggestion. So let's just get the drafting done.
So I totally agree with you. But I think that the discussion is academic, but I think that the discussion, for instance, I don't think that we are disagreeing at all. I was just thinking that something here was generic, whereas you said, no, it's actually about choices, and this document is about being a template where you document choices. And I think that the discussion is important that we get the principle, because I think that we had a little bit of confusion about the principle here. You, Jay Scott, had a little bit different view than maybe us two, and we didn't know that we shared the same view. And for getting the drafting right or the direction right, I think we need the meta discussion to give the guidance what should be in where, that that we get to the right direction. In that sense, I think the discussion has to be fruitful, at least for me.
I can take another shot at it. This discussion goes back many, many months, where we first talked. And when we use this term audience, think of it as a role, right? Not trying to bifurcate people, but we're saying that people have different roles. When you are in the charter creation or working group creation role, so if you're the GNSO Council, or if you happen to be the Operating Steering Committee or the Policy Process Steering Committee, you're in a role of having to create a working group. The document that we're looking at now is intended to be instructive and informing to a group that is intending to create and charter a working group. What advice, counsel, guidance, templates, practices, rules, suggestions would we give to a group of people in the role of wanting to create a working group? So that's what this document is intending to do. Therefore, it's reasonable to say to some group that's wanting to create a working group, here's some things you should think about. What kinds of liaisons or experts or consultants or staff personnel might you want to think about as you create this working group? That's what Section 2.4 deals with here. It's in Section 1, and it's a meta issue. It's not part of the charter itself. All right. Now, So that's the role of the people creating the working group. Once they have actually established one, they have said, okay, you, working group A, you are now chartered. The next question is, what would that group of people, it might even be some of the same people who were in the creating the working group team that now are going to join the team. That's okay. In their new role as working group members, what advice or guidance would we give them about how to carry out their tasks? Now, clearly their charter is going to tell them a lot of what to do, right? It's going to tell them what the mission is and what their time frames and deliverables are. But the operating model document was also going to talk about things like norms and behaviors and expectations, what kinds of reports and things might you create. So there would be a whole different set of guidelines that would be giving to a group of people in the role of working group members and or working group chairs that would help them or guide them in completing their task. So that, I don't know if that helps. It seems pretty clear to me that there are these two different audiences in these different roles, and that's what these two documents were intending to do. And so here again, while you might see this concept of experts, if I'm talking to the sponsors of creating a working group, I might ask them, what experts or consultants or guidance do you think your working group's going to need? They may say, we'll let them figure it out, right? In which case, they defer that item in the charter, right? When the working group gets together, they might see in the guidelines, they might see a section that says, hey, if you think you're deficient in some particular area of expertise, you should raise your hand to your sponsoring organization and ask for that help to be given to you. That's a completely different perspective, but it's the same topic. Okay.
Again, I think that once we see a draft, a lot of this will become more clearer to us. And my suggestion is that we get together, Ken, and we, over the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, get something on paper on the wiki that people can look at, and then we can start having a more drilled down discussion about these things. I agree with you. I think most of the people here who have at least been in the process of dealing with working groups and having chartered them realize that there are similar subject matters that have different viewpoints depending on what your role is, and those will have to be addressed differently because there are different roles. And so let's the takeaway from this meeting that I'm getting is that we are going to agree that we're going to let Ken give us a draft that we can then work with him in crafting and building upon and clarifying so that we can move this process further quickly. And I just want to make sure that everybody's on board with that. I think that is the most efficient way to do this at this point so that we then can have discussions on drafts rather than sitting around trying to wait for people to complete drafts that don't get done. I mean, it's merely a working draft, a discussion draft for us to then craft into the final document. Does that sound like something that is acceptable, Bertrand?
Actually, it's just before that that stage, I wanted to come back just briefly on the two on the two comments because I still have, and unfortunately, it's because I have not participated in the whole thing, but there's some ambiguity in here that I'd like to clarify. The first thing is you may have a single document that basically says and covers the two dimensions that you're saying. It basically has a first part that says the charter of a working group should contain at least those elements, optionally those elements, and that's what I call more or less the template charter. Within the headlines, for instance, you can say your charter must designate a chair. And the modalities for designation of a chair in a working group is X. Or is X, and you get a second part that says the working methods, good standing, operational recommendations, for a working group are as follows. And you can even have a third part that is general recommendations or tips or good checkboxes or checklists that are things that are good to know. In the discussion on the PDP, we had lengthy discussion on the paper that has been produced by Thomas Naughton, I think, on the birds of a feather, which is a very interesting document that is absolutely not constraining, but it is an incredibly good list of how you run a birds of a feather. So that's one document. Then when the charter is being set up, either there is one working method, one type of working group, and basically you fill the blanks. So on the one document it says the chair will be designated by a vote by a majority among the participants or whatever. The charter contains the chair is Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so and has been elected, blah, blah, blah. The document will say the description of the topic and the timeline should indicate clearly the milestones. And the charter will say maybe these are the milestones that we have agreed upon. The thing that I want to clarify is I was very struck by the experience of all the preparatory work for all the different subgroups in the PPSC, OSC, and so on. The amount of time that has been spent or needed very early on in drafting all those charters indicates the need of the work we're doing now. My question is, has the GNSO agreed on the notion that there should be one working group, working method type, or that it should be several working group types clearly defined, or that it is basically a menu of functioning options? I think these are three different approaches. You can choose one of the three, but it has very strong consequences on the drafting exercise you were suggesting. If there is one working group and the goal is to get something that is as generic as possible, it's a different exercise from identifying, for instance, two or three types of working groups very clearly defined, or having a menu where you actually choose and pick.
It's my understanding that we're going to have one format for how they would operate that would then adapt, because one of the things that the working group is supposed to do is to do a self-evaluation at the end of the working group to say what worked and what didn't work. So I would assume over time, Avery, that the working group model will mature.
But one.
But it will only be one. I think you get into a real problem when you start changing forms, because then you get people who feel like the form was picked to drive the agenda. And so I think you have to come with one consensus form that fits. It's one size fits all. There may be nuances to that depending on, some may be 60 people in a working group because of the issues. Some may be 12. You know, size may be a thing that will fluctuate. There's not a, but it's one model. And I would think most people here agree that that's where we're headed, is towards one model, not a menu. McDonald's.
I was misunderstanding then your comment when you were saying pick and choose the different elements. This is why I asked the question. I think it's better to have one, but.
Yeah, I think I would clarify my statement to be it really goes towards what you're talking about, Jay Scott, whether we're going to have 60 people or whether we're going to have 5 people, whether or not we're going to, that kind of direction is going to be in the charter. And then you have the operating model, which is regardless of whether you have a group of 60 or of 12, this is the way that you, operate. And to me, it's kind of like a constitution which sets out the direction for the whole thing, and then bylaws of an organization, or a mission statement, and then bylaws of an organization, which are your operating norms, how you make decisions. And I think that it could be either one document or two. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's basically so that every member of a working team knows what their obligations are, and what the norms of behavior are, and how it obligates, and then it has in there procedures for if people aren't being cooperative, or there, you know, there are some administrative things that are answered by those kinds of things. It's questions on the toughest question we're going to have, and we're not going to get to that today, but everyone needs to remember is when we get into this consensus. And how do you reach a decision? And that is a section of the document that's going to take the most. But I wanted, and I felt like everyone agreed, that it was easier to sort of know that's an issue we're going to have to get to, but let's get this thing flushed out, knowing that the hardest part of our work is going to be that one section. That's going to be the most difficult part of our work. And it has really challenged ICANN from the very beginning. I mean, we've had this whole discussion about what consensus, what's rough consensus, and we're going to get to that. But I felt it was best, and I believe I had buy-in from everyone, that we get everything else in place, knowing that that one centerpiece is going to be tough. And we're going to have to spend a lot of time on that. So that's the reason I'm thinking moving ahead with getting this draft in place, knowing that we're going to have one model, knowing that there are two different purposes to the documents, and the purposes will be driven what's in the perspective, although it may be in, and that's what we're going to do. So that's where I think we are, is to get a draft to the teams that we can then begin working on.
So I have a really, really stupid question. The question is that this is the only time that we have scheduled for this week. And the thing is that in some of these things, like, for instance, the charter document is not that long. Getting that flushed out during this week, getting the first draft, shouldn't be an issue. I don't know what else Ken has to do this week. Probably nothing. But kind of like this is doable. And this is the only face-to-face meeting we have before Seoul when this should be ready. Is there any way we could use this fact that we are in the same place at the same time and kind of look at that we have that have a first draft and have the understanding that if we're going to the right direction and so on? No, you just say yes, that's fine.
It's tempting. Unfortunately, I would not have any bandwidth this week to even add one paragraph to this. There are a number of other huge projects that have already been assigned, and I'm even late on those. And so, but as soon as this meeting is over, you know, one of my top priorities would be to start working. And Avery had given me a number of links to documents from IETF and some other things. So she has other resource material. Other people have written guidelines like this before, and so we will also borrow shamelessly and try to get this material done shortly after this meeting. I do want to raise a second point, though. While I think personally, just based on the work that the sub-team has done, that the charter document, the charter outline, is ready for drafting. I mean, I think it is. It's time for us to, and in fact, at the end of that session, the group that was on that call said, Ken, you're ready, go, right? And so it's time to write. And I accept, so I've got the ball on that one. On the operating model outline, though, we have not reached that point yet, in my mind, where that sub-team has really wrestled with every element in that outline, done the thinking and back and forth dialogue as to whether it should be there or not there and so forth. That work could get done in Sydney if that sub-team could get together either in some time that's remaining in this meeting or sometime later and try to hammer that out. Then, once that outline is nailed down and all the comments are extracted out of it, then I could start doing some drafting work there too.
Well, unfortunately, this meeting is at an end. So I am certainly willing to send out an email to the group asking if those members of the team that are here would like to meet and to try to get a time together. You know, I'm more than willing to do that. We could send out perhaps a doodle
Was Dr. Sabaya in the house?
I haven't seen him. But again, we could always put something together and then put it out there for comment and give it a, you know, a time so somebody who didn't have input would still have time to comment. So, I mean, I think that's, if that's something that folks want to do, and Ken has identified that as a something we need to do this week, and just because you're not on that sub-team, if you're on the other sub-team and you want to participate, you can participate anywhere you want to participate. There's no stricture. So, you know, what I would suggest we do is we do some sort of email to that model team and ask them if they're here, if they want to have a side meeting, and if so, what time. I can tell you that most people may be pretty booked up, but we can give it a shot.
Do it at midnight.
I think that sounds like a great idea, and I'm sad that we didn't get to delve into this first, because I think this is where a lot of the work needs to get done.
So I will send an email here in just a moment, and this meeting has to come to an end because I'm not sure if this room is in use, but we were slotted until 3 o'clock, and we've reached our 3 o'clock time. So thank you to everyone for attending. I will say this, that if Ken is taking the laboring oar to produce drafts, I expect that the members of this group will become engaged and will speak up and will help to flush this document out. You have to take responsibility if you're going to be on the team. We have to work together, and we have to hear from you, because I do not take silence as ascension. And I do not believe that when you say, when I don't hear from you, that means you agree. We need to hear from you. And we need you to come forward with any concerns and things that you have so that we can address those and get them handled as we draft. So I would appreciate you to read the documents and get back with us. Thanks.